Phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. This is Carl Bott. We got a lot going on today. We have a guest that I know a lot of people have questions for, and he's only going to be able to be here for about 40 minutes, so we're going to get to him right away. But first, I want to introduce our producer, Kelly Frost, Jr.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
Are you still doing okay with your wallet?
Yeah, it's actually right on my side.
That's good, because I don't want you losing it again, because I get in trouble every time you lose it. And, of course, my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. It's fabulous. Bring on the snow. Yeah. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Well, you know, it's kind of appropriate you say that, because we're going to talk about energy here. And our guest is Mr. Paul Hooser, who is the director of the Redding Electric Utility Company. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know what? I heard you give a real good talk the other day, an explanation about the electric utility and the rates. I don't know if everybody heard that. Well, in fact, I'm sure not everybody heard that. But this is an opportunity for people in our listening audience, and we have thousands, to hear what's going on from the horse's mouth, you might say, and then be able to ask questions about these things. So the main question is, why are the rates going up?
There are multiple reasons, and I might point people to our website, rupower.com. The full presentation that was given to council is available on that website. There's a fact sheet there that offers very detailed information about the utility and the financial condition. But far and away the largest driver is a change in our hydro contract with the Western Area Power Administration. Okay. We used to have access or a guaranteed amount supply of power from Western of about 600 gigawatt hours a year. To kind of translate that to regular terms, a gigawatt hour is 1,000 megawatt hours, and a megawatt hour is 1,000 kilowatt hours. You know, that's a unit that most people are familiar with from their own electric bills. But we've basically gone from a supply of 600 gigawatt hours a year down to, in an average hydro year, we get around 250 gigawatt hours a year. And put simply, we've had to replace that 350 gigawatt hours with more expensive alternatives, renewables, natural gas. Hydro is the cheapest source available, and when you have to replace that with something more expensive, our costs go up, and therefore rates go up.
Okay. Now, look, we've got to take a quick break here, and we've got another 30 minutes that we're going to have Paul available for all types of questions.
221-1402, give us a call. Paul Hooser, Redding Electric Utilities. Let's get on the line, ask some questions. We'll be right back. Good morning. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 29 degrees this morning, currently 8:13. We have a special guest with us. His name is Paul Hooser. I'm sure you've recognized his name. And?
Well, you know, one of the things, Paul, that, you know, we talked about the hydroelectric, but one of the other questions that I have is that with the natural gas prices dropping dramatically, why are we paying more?
That's an excellent question, and one I've gotten from people as well. And you're correct. We've seen drops recently from spikes in natural gas prices. And, of course, natural gas is a significant part of our portfolio. But although we've seen drops from spikes of, say, $12 a decatherm down to about $6.50 a decatherm, we actually hedge for our customers going forward. We lock in low prices of gas over long periods of time. Unfortunately, there's a limited amount of time that you can hedge those prices going forward. And we had some very economic hedges that are now expiring, both this month and next month. Basically, we purchased gas below $4 a decatherm. And even though it's, say, in the mid-$6 range now, we're having to replace that less than $4 gas with $6.50 gas. We're still below the spot market price and will continue to be so, but we're basically transitioning from $4 gas to $6.50 gas. So while we've come down from recent spikes, we're actually transitioning to a higher cost gas structure.
Okay. Henry, you're on.
Yeah, Carl. This is, I guess, more of a statement than anything else. First of all, I would like to say that we are in a recession. We haven't bottomed probably for another year. And unless my total education is a waste of time, I would guess that probably in the next year, at least 10% of the active businesses in Reading will not be in business anymore. Now, having said that, we have a person up here who's asking for more money and evidently got it as far as our light bill's concerned. This affects the economy in general. It makes a burden, especially on the older people. And to say again, this is not a rate increase. This is a form of a tax. Now, you can put a ribbon on a pig, and it's still a pig. And
I think that's lipstick on a pig.
They should, the city council, in their ultimate wisdom, should not be increasing this. They should go for better management, not only in the electrical department, but the city in general. Better management all the way through, and do enough layoffs, if necessary, especially in the upper echelons. And as an example, do you realize that when a city employee retires, that he gets 90% of his pay for the rest of his life? You know, maybe we should go bankrupt and renegotiate everything.
Well, maybe that's a way of doing it, Henry, but you know that the retirement, the way I understand it, comes out of a separate fund that we don't pay into that. Once the person's retired, he's retired. So, but as far as people getting 90% of what they made for the rest of their lives, that, you know, that is something that I think could be looked at because, you know, after being 30 years in the Marine Corps, we got 75% if you came in a long time ago. If it was, and if you went in after when I did, it was less than that. However, what we're doing, trying to do here is address any questions we have specific on this, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank
well,
you very much.
Let me ask one question,
okay.
If I might.
Oh, sure.
Has there been any cuts in his department, and how much money does he make, and did he take a cut?
Well,
there's my two questions.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, I'll answer that, Henry. And maybe to get to your statement a little bit, while I agree with you on some of your economic forecasting, though I hope it's incorrect, I do tend to agree with you that things are going to get worse. But I have to disagree with your statement that electric increases a tax. It certainly is not. With the electric utility, you're paying for a commodity or a service that we provide, and that's electric service that you use to potentially heat and cool your home, run your appliances. And as our costs go up, we have to pass those costs on. If the electric utility were to go bankrupt, there'd be no electric service for our customers. So it's completely different from a tax. Even though we are certainly part of the city and a city department, we are not tax funded. We are funded by the fees that pay for the service that we provide. And as those costs go up, we have to pay those. If the city council had not passed this rate increase, we would have quickly bled down our reserves, and it would have resulted in basically a court order forcing us to raise rates in a much more draconian fashion later on. So, you know, I understand your perspective, but to use an analogy of the state budget, if the city council, it would have been politically expedient and much easier not to raise rates now, wait for a court to force a real dramatic increase later on, and in the interim, we lose the reserves that allow us to operate in the wholesale markets and save money for our customers. So the end result would have been much worse.
Now, what kind of cuts have you made in the department?
You know, as part of the mitigation measures, we are actually holding a number of positions open. And I guess I'd, you know, point again to, if you want to see the full presentation, it's available at rupower.com. But we've identified $3 million over the rate performer period that we presented to council in terms of positions we're holding open. Another thing I might point out is, you know, unlike the general fund of the government, we're very capital intensive. Labor costs for us are less than 15% of the budget. We could literally lay off every single employee, as absurd as that sounds, because obviously we wouldn't be able to keep the lights on. But if we laid off every single employee, we would still have to have rate increases.
That's an interesting point. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. The phone lines are on. We'll get to the phones as soon as we get back from this break. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bot. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Sue, thanks for waiting.
Yes, I would like to find out why our so-called councilman, five people can make the decision for the whole wedding area, for to raise the rates now for the winter time, when us poor people, and if they would take, cut back on some of the electricity to these Taj Mahal, the different nights, and if they would cut up all these fountains that run around town 24-7. I know it's recycled water, but hey, it takes electricity to run it. Let's start with the big guys first, then work down to the big guys, the poor people.
Well, you know,
we don't need all these fountains running. We don't need all these lights on the Taj Mahal City Hall. We need to start from the big guys and work down to the poor people.
Well,
now, we're raising the rates now. I know we should have thought of it earlier. You know, gradually raise it, not, you know, in a better way, hit the fire. But anyhow, just like I said, just start at the big shots first. And I don't know how many five or six people on that bench can sit up. I wish I could have been there, but I had to work.
Hey, Sue.
I was trying to make money to raise my family.
Hey, Sue.
But anyway.
Sue.
I think it needs to be set up to big people.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Sue, you know, tomorrow we're going to have Patrick Jones on. He's one of the council members. And
I won't be. I'm going to be working.
Okay,
I can't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying, like I said, we need to have him set up the big shot first, then work down.
Got okay. It, Sue.
I call City Hall. Turn up those fountains. We don't need them running 24-7. I know it's recycled water, but take electricity. Cut up half these lights, you know, at night they don't need to be on. We're conserving. We don't hardly have any fountains. You know, we try to work, you know, in the dark or whatever.
But okay.
Hey, let's start at the big people first. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Sue, for listening. Thanks for your phone call. Okay.
Well, the fountain was on this morning. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I thought, gosh, it's freezing out. The fountain's on.
Yeah. Hey, Deanna, good morning.
Oh, hi. I just have two questions.
Okay.
You're raising electric rates. What about the service charge? How much are you going to raise that one?
It is going up by the same percentage. It's a flat electric rate increase of 7.84%.
Okay. Which I think is ridiculous, but that's beside the point, to read our meters and to bill us. My other question is, why do we have a service charge for electric and water when it's the same person reads both meters and it's on the same billing? Why do we have to pay two different service charges?
Okay, that service charge covers more than just the cost of sending your bill out. And even the water department and the electric department have separate costs of maintaining those meters. It's basically the cost to have that service available to you, whether you use it or not. And the example would be, you know, let's say you have a vacation home and you want electricity on there and water on just in case you come in, but you don't use it all the time. You still have to cover the cost of, you know, building the electric wires to your house or building the water pipes to your house. So that flat charge or that flat rate covers more than just the cost of mailing a bill to you.
Well, then why does it have to go up the same rate as electricity?
Because those costs are going up as well.
No,
the cost for water is going up too?
Well, I can't. The cost of providing that infrastructure and having the service available is going up as well.
Does that answer your question, Deanna?
Well, yes, but I don't believe it.
Well, you know, Deanna, as I was trying to tell
it's
Sue...
It's just an extra charge that they can charge us.
Yeah. Well, as I was trying to tell Sue, is that tomorrow we've got Patrick Jones on. Next Tuesday, we've got Missy MacArthur on. And Wednesday, we have the mayor and the city manager on our show. So I would get your friends and line up and come up with some questions. I just let them explain it.
Yeah, well, they'll give you the same Mickey Mouse. I got a long letter with a bunch of hogwash explaining it all once before. It's just a service charge. To me, it's an extra charge that they can bill. And why does that have to go up every time the electricity goes up? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's an added charge. It's like a tax.
Well, it's a that's right. I mean, everything's going up here, it looks like, around here.
Right.
We got to take a look, too, at how we're running these things, right?
Right.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, now, one of the things we were talking about was, you know, I asked Paul, hey, take a look from the other side. You know, you've got this presentation you made, but if you were from the other side, you're a layman, you don't study these things, what would you look at?
That's a good question, because I recognize not everybody has the time to, you know, analyze the utilities finances, you know, to a fine degree. And to me, if I were a layman, you know, I would look at those comparisons. You know, how do our rates here locally compared to others? You know, PG&E is an obvious comparison because they serve in a surrounding area, but they do have a different business model in that they're an investor-owned utility. As part of the presentation, we also put up what other municipal utilities in Northern and Central California also charge, and Redding compares very favorably with those. We have the second lowest residential rate, which seems to cause the most concern. And, you know, I might mention also many of these others like Santa Clara or Bay Area municipalities, they enjoy much more uniform weather. That load is much easier to serve than Redding's load, where we have these tremendous spikes because of the heat we have in the summer. And then we have, you know, much lower usage periods. So we actually have to acquire assets to serve that highest usage level. But then those assets aren't fully utilized other times of the year. That makes the kind of load that we serve here more expensive to serve. So when you take that into account and look at a comparison of how we line up against others in terms of rates, if I were a layman, I would look at it and say, okay, this looks reasonable, you know, given where we are in the rate structure within California.
And again, this presentation is on your on the website,
RUPower.com. It's right on the front page. You can click on it and get it.
Or if you want to, we're going to get a copy of it from Paul. We're going to put it on our com site, freefireradio.com. Okay, this is Carl Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Paul Hoosier, who is the director of the REU. And we've got to take a hard break here and join us on the other side.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Whoa. Hey, this is Carl Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in Newstalk 1400 TQMS. That starts me going. Let's go to the phones here. Ron, good morning.
Yeah, I understand that the reason for this rate increase is that we have to invest in other alternatives of electricity and provide more of our hydroelectric to the system. Is that correct?
We don't have as much cheap hydropower from the Western Area Power Administration, so you're correct. We have to invest in other resources. We have to replace that energy with other alternatives.
Would that be wind farms, et cetera?
Yes, wind is a part of our portfolio. It's wind, biomass. We have a small amount of solar on our system. Natural gas plays a big part.
And I heard yesterday they're providing now a 30% tax break for people that put in solar?
Yeah, I think what you refer to is Senate Bill 1, SB1, or the governor called it the Million Solar Roost. And we do provide rebates, and there also are tax incentives for people to put solar on their homes. That's correct.
Now, these other types of energy are awash in red ink. They will never pay for themselves. That's a fact. When are the people in Sacramento going to get that in their head?
Well, you are correct. If you really look at photovoltaic power and putting it on here in our climate with the amount of sunshine we get, a photovoltaic system that somebody puts on their home, the total cost, if you wrap in everything, I mean, you get tax breaks and subsidies to put it in, but if you wrap in everything, it's about 50 cents a kilowatt hour, the energy that you get out of that. So you are correct. It's not cost effective.
So we have to, our tax money has to go to something that is a failure. It's time to clean out that rotten, foul nest down in Sacramento.
I can give you the philosophical argument for SB1. The idea was we'll funnel all these subsidies to encourage people to put on solar, and that will stimulate the industry, and they will make technological advances and drive the price down. And while some of that's occurred, we certainly have not got to the point, anywhere near the point, where photovoltaic energy is competitive with more traditional forms of generation like natural gas and hydro.
Yeah.
Ron, thanks.
Carl, we enjoy your program and listen every morning.
Hey, Ron, thank you so much for your support and for your phone call.
All right. Bye.
Hi. Russell, good morning.
Morning, Carl.
We're ready.
Well, I've been sitting here listening to all of this. And one of my big questions is, with Redding Power Generation, why is the Redding utility not looking at expanding its customer base? I mean, there's a huge area around here right now, and Anderson is ripe for the taking. Shasta Lake City is sitting up there. Cottonwood is sitting up there. And the only option that we have in those surrounding areas is PG&E, whose rates are outrageous and ridiculous. And we get nickel and dime to death for stuff like nuclear power plant decommissionings.
Okay, let's...
Now, if your rates there with the city are so great, the way laws are written, PG&E can't have a monopoly, which they have right now. And I'm sure if you were to send out feelers to people in these surrounding areas, you would get a lot more customers in.
Paul, what do you think?
Russell, I've received calls occasionally from customers, particularly in the summer months when those PG&E bills are really high, asking us to serve them. But the real quick answer is legally we are not allowed to serve outside the city limits. And this is state law that binds us in this fashion. And were we to attempt that to change that in Sacramento, believe me, PG&E would lobby vigorously to oppose it. So, you know, the short answer now is legally we are not allowed to serve outside the city limits. Now, as the city annexes an area, we do take over those customers from PG&E, and we systematically do that as we pursue annexations. But, you know, obviously the city is not going to annex Anderson or anything of that nature.
Okay, well, why isn't that law being fought on a national level? Because if the state is hindering that, it's allowing PG&E to have a monopoly, and federal law says that you can't have a monopoly.
Well, utility territories are governed by the state. I don't, you know, maybe there's, you're getting outside my area of expertise, but I don't know if the federal government could intervene in a case like this. I'm not sure.
You know, what you're saying, Russell, is a good idea, but unfortunately, it looks like our hands are tied here. But as we slowly annex our way out, work our way out to the surrounding areas, that'll help. But that's not going to help, like you said, up in Lake Shasta and Anderson, those places. It, you know, and people complain about, you know, about our rates. I mean, you look at PG&E. I mean, my gosh, the difference between them sometimes is double.
Yeah. Well, I know, Carl, when me and my wife got married 7 years ago, we went on our honeymoon. We were gone for 3 weeks. The only thing that we had on in our house while we were gone were clocks. And we came home and we had over a $100 electric bill.
Oh.
Are you PG&E?
That was ridiculous. Yeah. From PG&E, yeah. Yes. That was absolutely ridiculous. The only thing that was in the house running were clocks.
Well, hey, Russell, we what can I say? You know, we're they got you over the barrel here.
Yes, PG&E does hold people over a barrel. And I would absolutely love to see somebody like Reading Utility, who does have good rates, even though they were raised, they're still way better than PG&E rates. You know, and we would love to see some kind of action taken. So we can have an option, because
yeah.
I know we have option on all kinds of different services like telephone and things, but when it comes to our gas and electricity, we are not given an option.
Yeah. Russell, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
Hey, Dan, good morning.
Yeah, sure. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Well, you know what, Dan, it's, you know, when I'm listening to people who have, you know, that we're getting hit with a rate increase, you know, Paul's explaining it. Then you listen to these poor people from, not poor people, these people that are being put over the barrel by PG&E, and I'm thinking, you know, that's bad.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse. Yeah, I understand. I'm having my own personal recession this year, let alone the economy.
Yeah, yeah.
My question is, for years we've heard, and I read about it in Record Search Light at one point in time, that the electric department loans surplus money to other departments in the city and stuff. It's sort of like the city usually rapes the fund annually or whatever. And every time you ask a politician or an official about it, they get real evasive and their answers kind of are hinky. What is the real story on that? And my second question is, the city bought that generation plant on Clear Creek Road. It was a cogeneration plant fired by hog fuel and wood chips and stuff, and they converted it over to the jet engine type of thing. And I wonder why they did it, because you know, it seems like it would have been better to leave it as a cogeneration plant, since Wheelabrator evidently makes a profit and keeps its energy. That would help keep the energy costs low.
Okay, Dan, thanks.
You bet.
I guess I'll take your questions in order. The loans from the electric fund to the general fund, they have occurred. I think it's maybe the perception of how often that occurs is exaggerated. The most recent one, and the one I've had the most questions on, is the Stratty property loan. And that is basically a loan from the electric fund to the general fund, but that is paid back. There's a payback schedule with interest. All that is built into the rate pro forma. And insofar as we get payments with interest, the impact on rates is really negligible. Now, if the electric fund were just to give the money to the general fund, obviously there'd be a big hit to rates. But, you know, it's just like a bank loaning money. You get that revenue stream coming in, so that offsets the, you know, the lump of money that you gave out. So the impact to rates there is negligible. In terms of the power plant, it's actually more efficient and cost-effective to generate with natural gas. You know, Wheelabrator has a different business model in terms of how often they expect their plants to operate and where they want to sell into the market. As we get more renewable portfolio standards or the requirement to have more of our power come from renewables, the cost-effectiveness of different forms of generation may change. But the bottom line is it was a really excellent decision to convert that, not only to purchase that plant, Reading Power, and convert it to natural gas, but in addition, we're also adding a new unit out there, Unit 6. It will be a sister unit to Unit 5 that exists now, And that will also help us, you know, in our ongoing effort to replace this cheaper hydropower with other forms of energy.
Okay, now Paul's going to have to leave here in a couple minutes. This is our last question. Les, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm a good citizen, and one of the problems with being a good citizen and loving the city of Reading is when I am pretty frustrated about this energy increase in the city of Reading. I end up sounding like, you know, I'm just disgruntled or something. But, you know, my mom used to tell me, just because somebody else jumps off a cliff, does that mean that you're supposed to? And to say that because PG&E is higher or other areas are higher in their cost for electricity and gas, then the city of Reading should do that. Purchased a home and some investment property in the city of Reading. One of the reasons, one of the big reasons, was because the electricity was cheap here. And now they're changing that. And the reason they're doing it is simply because they can. Not because it's right. It may be legal, but it takes away the criteria that people use for making decisions. And once a decision is made, like where you're going to live, then all of a sudden this stuff happens.
Yeah, I can certainly comment, Les. And, you know, I guess a differing perspective is, in my view, we're going to try to maintain electric rates as low as possible and as reliable as possible going forward. And we are not raising rates because we can. We're really raising rates because we have to.
Are you suffering a deficit right now?
That is correct. We are spending money out of reserves, you know, money that we built up in better times. And there's, you know, obviously a finite amount of money. We can't do that indefinitely. And the reason we're having to is the cost of the energy that we're purchasing, that we distributed over the wires we have to your house and all the other homes in Reading, that's going up. We have to pay for it. And so it really is a matter of we have to raise rates to cover our costs.
Well, is it the city that or the utility that's paying for that, or is it the person who's having to spend this exorbitant amount of money on a permit?
The permits and the fees you pay there are not related at all to the electric fund. The electric fund is an enterprise fund. It is separate from the other city funds, and it really operates independently.
On paper, anyhow. Okay, well.
Hey, Les, thanks for your phone call.
Thank you, guys, and appreciate your program.
Well, you know what? We're going to have all the biggies on here the next 4 or 5 days, so keep calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Les.
Hey, Paul, I'd really like to thank you for being here today, and I know you're running out of here as soon as we're finished, so thanks a lot for this. And again, we can find this presentation, answers a lot of these questions on your website.
That's correct. You can find it at rupower.com, and I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
No problem. We'll have you back on again, and you can also find this presentation later on Free Fire Radio. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side. This is Carl Lindebot. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. And Mr. Hooser just ran out of here. He's got a meeting with a client that uses tons of electricity.
City Hall?
Well, you know, it's somebody else. I think there's a customer there. But
oh, okay.
You've got a story here.
Well, I just wanted to share with our listeners, you know, of course, as things go up, gas, electricity, whatever we have to experience in our lives when we have an increase and it makes you feel somewhat out of control. I want to share with you about my 75-year-old mother and my 77-year-old father who live on a fixed income and have worked hard their whole lives to build, buy and sell. And they bought a beautiful home, which has now paid off. And they live in Sacramento. Actually, it used to be called Loomis. Now it's called Granite Bay, which is, you know, when they live in a nice neighborhood. Anyway, they have a home that's 2,500 square feet, and it's two stories. And to make a long story short, they, you know, it gets hot in Sacramento. And when you've got a two-story house, if it's not insulated just right, this home is from the 80s. $900. They had an electrical bill for $900, PG&E, and it's a tiered system. I don't quite understand how it works, but it's a tiered system. Can you imagine being on a fixed income, even though your house is paid for, and have a $900 bill because they have to have air conditioning.
Anybody does when you get the heat like that. I mean, the heat outside. But the the bottom line is that yes, we're taking a 7.8% increase, and the thing is, there's a lot of people upset about it. Now we've got to take a quick break here. We're going to talk when we come back. We've got the phone lines lit up again as usual. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about ways you can save that 7.84%. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side. Hey, okay, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are backed up. You got 30 seconds each caller. Greg.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah. Good
morning.
You know, there's a little bit of rip there, too, that I'm hearing is that they said 7.8%, increase?
Yes.
So then I guess in 2010, it'll be 14%. Are they going to – they didn't say anything about compounding.
No, it'll be 7.84 this year, 7.84 next year.
So that's 7 point on top of the 7 point, meaning 14%?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, see, 14. The other thing was, too, there was never anything said about raising the fee for reading your meter. They never said anything about that.
It was addressed about a lady called earlier.
I heard her say that, but when I went to those meetings, everything else, ever said anything about that we're going to increase the meter.
Nobody said anything. That was a surprise to me, too, and I think that's something we ought to talk to our city councilman about.
Yeah, because I'm solar myself, and I'm trying to get that eliminated altogether. I've submitted letters to them, but they haven't wrote me back or anything on it yet.
Hey, Greg, what you need to do is, hey, can you call me at 241-2682? Leave your phone number so I can talk to you about that.
We can leave them after so I can write that down.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
241-2682.
2682.
Or just go to our website and drop me a line and say that, hey, give me your phone number because some things came up today about solar and I'd like to talk to you about it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Steve, good morning. 30 seconds.
Hey, good morning. Anyway, I'm one of those rotten city employees and I'm so tired of people thinking that, hey, you get hired on and after 2 or 3 years you retire to get 90%.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of bull.
Yep.
You get 2.7% per year employed. For me to get 90%, I would have to work there like 34 years.
Okay.
I'm going to retire at probably about 60%. So,
okay.
Anybody out there, they need to get it together and not just think that it's a golden parachute for everybody.
Well, I think you're right, Steve. And the other thing, too, is that, some people choose to stay in for 34 years. That's fine. But like you say, if you do 20 years, 21 years, it's less. And the thing is, you've earned that. I mean,
you're right. We had a gentleman that worked, he started when he was 18. And he retired when he was, I think, 60, and he got 100%. But you know what? He earned it.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you do that, that was,
any job.
That's it.
That's staying power. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Jeff.
Yeah, this is Jeff with the Patriot Guard Riders.
Yes, Jeff.
Today we're doing a very special service for a very special member of the Greatest Generation. This young man, his name's Paul Enzer. He's not a young man. He's born in 25, but he joined the Army 6 days after Pearl Harbor when he was 16 years old, sent to Corregidor. He was captured there, became a POW, and that was 5 months after Pearl Harbor. He was a POW. He survived the Bataan Death March in which about, a tremendous amount of prisoners died or were killed.
Yeah.
He was listed as missing in action for 3.5 years, and then... he was transported to Japan on a transport ship where most of those ships were sunk by U.S. forces. In Japan, he was working in a coal mine 40 miles outside of Hiroshima when an atomic bomb was dropped. Upon his release, he walked through that bombed-out city to connect up with U.S. forces. And then it doesn't stop. He got discharged, and then when the Korea War broke out, he re-enlisted again, served in Korea, and continued in the service and served in Vietnam. 23 years and 3 wars, more medals than any man I've ever seen.
What a hero.
Service is going down today at 12:45 out there at IGO.
Hey, if you can make it out there, people, go out there and pay honor to this hero.
Yeah, that's all I got for now.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Thanks for your work, PGR. Okay, but we said we'd find ways to help reduce. You can take that 7.84, reduce your usage, and it's a wash.
Turn down the water heater. Most homes can run them at 120 degrees, but manufacturers often set them at 140. A 10-point drop will save 3% to 5% in energy. Turn off the lights every hour you don't burn a 100-watt bulb. It will cost you a penny less at current REU rates. These This multiplies for rows of vanity lights, chandelier style lights, and the like. Switch out your incandescent lights for a compact fluorescence. The energy saving bulb will add up fast. And also, this is the big one. Check your refrigerator temperature setting. This is one of your home's biggest energy hogs. Did you know that? And you should, and that should be set at 37 or to 40 degrees.
There you go. Now, if you do that, as Rob Burrow said, who's one of our leading citizens here, a real patriot, he says you got to, you know, you can conserve. So take a look at where you can conserve. We're turning all the lights off now. We used to leave them on all the time. We're turning it off. We're changing out our light bulbs. So hopefully that won't make a big difference. Now, tomorrow will be Patrick Jones. Next Tuesday, Ms. MacArthur. Wednesday, the mayor and the city manager. We're trying to get all these people on so you can ask all these questions so, you know, that if you've got something there that's burning you, it's stuck in your craw, this is the time to call these people. Let them know.
Tomorrow's the rant.
Yeah, and tomorrow at 8:15 is the angry citizen, and we've got him. And wait till you hear this guy, 8:15 tomorrow morning. I'm going to turn him loose. Anyway, this is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?